Easter was awesome. I was telling Pastor Jimmy and Phil, I'm still gleaning off of Sunday. I was excited about it, seeing 161 people, and it was great all the way around. And I know the majority of you were here, so hopefully you still have that pouring over into Wednesday, because the same God that we were excited about and we served on Sunday is the same God we're excited or should be excited about in serving tonight. He hasn't changed, by the way, in case you're wondering. I did have a quick story from Sunday morning. There was a little boy who came up here right at the end of service for the altar call, and Spirit said, "Hey, go talk to him. Go see what he's doing. He was right about here, and I get down to him and I say, "Hey, man, is there anything that I can pray with you about? You know, anything specific you want to pray about?" And this is going to make you go, "Aw." He said, "Well, no, not really. I'm just up here thanking God for what he's done for me." Aw, yeah, that's what I thought. But it was so sweet and it was so precious. And it was like, man, this little boy is excited and happy about whatever God's doing in his life. I didn't know. I didn't ask him. He just said, "Let's thank God together." And I said, "Shoot, okay, I got plenty to be thankful for." And so that's what we did. So I figured I'd share that with you guys. It was cool to see such a little kid wanting to please God and being thankful for all that God had given to him. But we did have a goal on Sunday of reaching or having an attendance of 100 people. That was our goal. God blew that out of the water by 61%. That's huge. Saying we asked for 100, he said, we'll give you more. You know, the goals that we set, there's actually quite a few goals that we've set. That was one of them. As I counted up here, we had a goal to see the rest of those lights lit up. And as it sits right now, we need 8 to go. 17 baptisms. We've been praying for it, right? We've been asking God to send us people so that they can be saved and be baptized and be part of what we have hanging up here, and that they can be that light. And 25, and that was another goal that we have. We have ministry goal that's coming up for the auction. We have a dollar amount that we're asking God to provide for us. You guys probably have your own personal goals, all things that you want to achieve, all things that, you know, some things that you want to press towards and that you want to press forward towards. But that doesn't happen by setting a goal and then doing nothing about it. When we set a goal, we're expected to work towards that goal, to achieve that goal. If I have a goal of losing 20 pounds and I don't go to the gym, I don't eat right, I don't, you know, change my lifestyle and my habits, is that going to happen? No, that's not going to happen. So when we set a goal, when we have a goal, we ought to be working towards it. And in these cases, what we ought to be doing is praying for the things that we're asking God to do. And not just praying for them, but believing that God is going to provide for us. But if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll be in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll see what Paul has to say about pressing towards the goal, what the goal is, how to stay on track, and what not to do when you're pressing forward to it. So Philippians chapter 12, chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." 15. "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you look otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we're so thankful that, again, we get to come in here the Wednesday after Easter to celebrate you, to be excited about you, God, and all the things that you're doing in our lives, Lord. There's so many things that we've heard today, the prayer requests, the praises, Lord, and you're an awesome God to serve. You're the only one worthy of our service, Lord. And though we don't deserve anything you give to us, Lord, you still give it to us freely. But it wasn't free. It was at the cost of your Son. And we're so thankful for that tonight. Father, as we get into your word, I pray that you Help us to stay on track with the things that you've called us to do, Father, and let this night be dedicated and for you and to your glorification. We love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Paul is talking about goals here, right, in verse 12 through 16. We read about that. In verse 12 he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. You see, Paul knows that he hasn't made it yet. He says, I am not there yet. I'm not perfected, nor am I at the goal or where I want to be in my walk with the Lord. So for that, I will press on. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a little bit younger, newer Christian, I would look at Paul and the stories in the books that he would write and look at him as like this perfect guy. Like, man, he's really got it nailed down. He's really a man after God. He's really, you know, the ideal Christian. And he is. He's a great example to follow. But it's not because of what he's done. It's all because of what God's done for him. And Paul, realizing this here, understands that, hey, I haven't made it yet. There's still a long way to go until I reach what God has fully called me to. So for that, I will press on. And that's what he says in the tail end of verse 12. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says, why am I going to press on even though I know I'm not there? Because I'm trying to lay hold of that. What is that? It is what God has appointed for him, starting with his salvation. The first thing God wants for us is to be saved and to begin being conformed to the image of his Son. And that goal here that Paul is talking about is that sanctification, that conforming. And he knows he's not there yet. But because Jesus plucked him from his old lifestyle and set him on a new road, this is why he is going to continue to press forward. This is why we should continue to press forward, because if you're a believer tonight, Jesus did the same thing to us. He plucked us from our old road, put us on a new road, made us do a 180 so that we can follow him and do what he wants for our life as he has appointed for us. Not what we want to do anymore, but what God wants for us. And that's what Paul is saying here. You see, Jesus laid hold of him just as he has laid hold of many of us so that we might lay hold of heavenly hope. If we are continually chasing the things of the world, if we are continually chasing the things, whatever our worldly goals are, if that's all we're focused on, we've missed it already. Here Paul is saying, I know I haven't made it. I know what God wants for me, but I know I haven't made it all the way yet. And by the way, we're not going to this side of heaven. We're not going to make it. We're not going to reach the pinnacle until we die and we're in heaven with Jesus. But do we stop trying? No, on the contrary, we try harder. We press towards the goal, and that's what Paul is saying here. And in verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. So he's saying, again, hey, I realize I ain't there yet. I realize I'm not quite there. But what he says next is super important. I want to spend just a little bit of time. He says, though I'm not there, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, you know, I ain't there yet, but I know how not to get there. And that's by looking back. How many of you guys have a goal in mind right now? The majority of us, right? Are you going to get to that goal by looking back at your past? Probably not. Are you going to look back at all the bad things you've done and all of the terrible things that you've done to reach the goal that you've set forth? No, it's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be something that's tough to do, because there's always going to be people, when you have a goal, there's always going to be people say you ain't going to make it. There's always going to be critics. There's always going to be people telling you, why you set that goal for yourself? Why would you do that? You know you can't stick to it. You know you're not going to get it. Why set yourself up for failure? There's always, always going to be people that say that. But Paul here says, if I want to focus on the goal that God has set forth before me, I can't look back. You guys know a little bit about Paul, right? he was not a very good person before Jesus Christ. He wasn't the type of person that you'd necessarily want to be friends with. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, this is him talking. He says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." For Paul to be saying this, you got to understand his backstory. He's saying, for what God has plucked me out of, which is some of this here, I can't look back. I can't focus on the things of who I used to be. If I'm trying to get sober and clean, I can't focus on my old drug lifestyle. If I'm trying to get out of pornography, I cannot look back at the computer, the things that are pulling me back into it. If I'm trying to serve God, I cannot keep going back to sin. It doesn't work. It can't work. Paul is saying, this is who I was. This is the person that I was. I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, he says, and tried to destroy it. Well, that's pretty harsh. But you know what? When he got saved, that's who he was. That's not who he is as he writes this book. That's who he was, and he's not looking back. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, verse 12 through 15, he goes on, he talks a little bit more. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly..." Again, the old Paul, "formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." So because of who Paul was, he was destined for hell. He cried out against the Christian church. He persecuted it to the nth degree. He hated them, couldn't stand them. But because of who Jesus is, his exceedingly abundant grace, he was able to pluck somebody like that, somebody who killed Christians, persecuted them, tortured them, pull him into a new lifestyle. I heard something, it was one of the two. I either heard it or I read it. I can't remember which. But it was something to the effect of, the Christians who Paul persecuted, we're going to be waiting for him in heaven. And that's the power of Jesus Christ. As people are coming up there, the person who was killing them is going to get a warm welcome from them. How is that possible? Nothing other than what Jesus Christ did for us on Sunday, dying on the cross. He can change lives like that. How is it possible that you come from 30 years of drug addiction, and God says, no, you're done, and changes you like that, you do a complete 180. How's that possible? Jesus. How's it possible to be in a lifestyle of sin for 19 years, and you hear a message one day, and you change like that? How is that possible? Jesus. It ain't nothing that we're doing. It ain't nothing that we're ever going to be able to do. Doesn't his word say, with Christ all things are possible? Doesn't it say nothing is impossible for God? Yeah, it does. And how exciting is that if you take hold of that and you listen to it and experience it and hold on to it? See what the problem is? The problem is, put yourself in a car. You're driving down the street. You have a giant window in front of you, right? It's called a windshield. Big old window in front of you that's meant to look ahead at the things that you're looking at. You know what the problem is? We're looking in the little piece of glass in the rear view, looking to see what we missed, looking to see what we forgot. We're not focused on what's right in front of us and what God wants us to do. We're too busy adjusting that mirror to look back at our old lifestyle to see if it's still there, and we're still waiting on it. Should I go back? Is it too far out of focus. I wonder if I turn around, if it'd still be there, if it'd still accept me. I'll tell you what, it will accept you. But what's it going to get you? Is it going to get you forward? No. It's going to get you right back to where you came from. You got to stop looking at that little tiny piece of glass and start looking at the big one. It's meant to go forward, not look back. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to forget our past by any stretch, but we shouldn't be living in it. God says, you don't need to worry about it. The blood of Jesus covered it. Let's go forward. Don't forget it. Learn from it. Don't dwell in it. Move forward with it. In verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call on God, of God in Christ Jesus. How do you get over your past? You look forward. You don't get over your past by constantly going back when things get tough. You don't get over your past by saying, you know what, I'm going to take one more dip in this pool. I'm going to take one more dip in sin. I'm going to take one more dip in this whatever it may be. You don't get over your past by looking back at it. You look forward. You have a forward focus, which is Christ. And he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. The goal is salvation in heaven. But what do we do in between the time we're saved and when we go to heaven? What do? Well, we work. We do what God's called us to. That's what he says. The prize of the upward call. Now, what's the upward call? What is God asking you to do? What's he calling you to do? Who's he calling you to be? I can't answer that for you. I know what he wants for me, and when I don't listen, he does a pretty good job of explaining it so that I do understand what he's saying. But I don't know what he wants for you, but we ought to be saved first, working towards that prize of the upward call, whatever he's asking you to do. In Galatians 1, Paul said, he's the one who called me to the ministry. He's the one who allowed me to preach the gospel to Gentiles. He's the one. It ain't anybody else. So that was Paul's call. And what'd he say? Okay. I get it. Remember what you did to me on that Damascus road? I get it. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. Why? Because I love you. So knowing the forward focus and understanding why you're here and what God wants out of your life is huge. Knowing what he wants for you in the present is huge. And what he wants for you is to serve, to be obedient, and to glorify him. And if you're doing those things, if you're serving and being obedient, chances are the third one falls right in line. You're going to glorify him. But we have to work towards it. Just like I said, these goals over here, we don't set these and say, well, hope it happens. And leave it at that. No, we're praying. We're inviting people. We're sharing the gospel. We're doing all these things. And it's not anything that we're doing other than being obedient. And God's working through us to see these things happen. So keep that in mind. It's never us doing it. It's always God working through us, or it should be anyways. Ashley and I had the privilege to, the opportunity to go see Dr. Tony Evans speak last month or something like that, a while ago. And people ask me, oh, how was it? Was it cool? Was it good? I said, oh man, that man, he can speak. Man, he can deliver a sermon. He can do all these things. And I said, but at the end of the day, he's just a man. I said, however, he's a man doing what God has called him to do to the fullest. He's the one that seemingly says, yeah, I'll do it, and he goes. We can be like that. All it takes is obedience and willingness. But he did share a story, and it's something I think that's going to stick with me for a long time, and it was a baseball story, so I'll tell you it, because it's something that really put into perspective what I'm looking for, what I'm looking towards. And he went on to say that whenever, I don't know when Hank Aaron played baseball and Yogi Berra, maybe some of you guys, some of you baseball junkies know that, but he was saying, you know, Hank Aaron was, the Braves were playing the New York Yankees in the World Series, and Hank was up to bat, home run Hank. I know a little bit about him. Did a research project in like sixth grade. Don't remember much, but I knew he was, home run Hank was his nickname. But he gets up to the plate and takes his batting stance, and everybody knows that any good catcher's job is not to just frame balls and catch them, but to get in the ear, get in the head of the batter. You've seen Sandlot, right? You know, when the Sandlot is playing the Little League team and Ham's down there chatting up to the batter, and they're striking out. That's what a good catcher does. Well, Yogi Berra was no different. He said, well, you can't bat. Your mama can't bat. You ain't good at baseball, and while you're here playing, you're going to strike out anyways. And he said one thing. He said, hey, Hank, the insignia on your bat is facing the wrong direction. Now, I didn't know this, but apparently if you're like the Louisville Slugger emblem or the East End or whatever, if the emblem is facing away from you and you swing, it can break the bat. The reverberation can hurt your hands and ruin chances of making scoring or making it on base. Well, the next pitch comes and Hank cranks it, boom, right over center field wall. He's running the bases, taps first, boom. Running second, tap second. Running third, tap third. Coming home, hits home plate, boom. Heading back to his dugout. Gets almost there and he goes, oh yeah, hey Yogi, by the way, I didn't come here to read. And when he said that, I said, man, if we let all of those voices that tell us we ain't no good, if we let all those people say you're not going to meet your goal, if we let the world tell us why are you even trying, and we're not focused on what God wants for us, we're going to be worried about insignia on a bat, something that don't matter. We didn't come here to listen to what the world has to say. We didn't come here to be a product of our environment. We didn't come here to live, pay bills, and die. We came here to serve a risen Savior. And if we get off that focus, what are we doing? If we get off what God's called us, the upward call in our lives, if we deviate from that, what are we doing? Surely we're not serving. Surely we're not being obedient to God, and surely we're not going to be glorifying Him in what we do if we let all that junk come into us and eat at us. And we sway, and we go back, and we look in that rearview mirror and say, man, it was so much better. So much better back there. It was a lot easier. Maybe I'll go back. And we let that stuff break us down and beat us down. And you know, I don't know if Paul knew at the time what his persecution was going to be, but that too was part of God's plan for his life. But he did it. He ran with it. He said, okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do. And he calls us to be the same way in verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. He's saying, fellas, ladies, gentlemen, God's calling you to do something. You've got to be focused on what He's asking of you. You've got to cut out the noise. You've got to cut out the world. You've got to get rid of the sin. And focus on what God wants for your life. If you do that, He considers you mature. There's too many baby Christians today, or people that have been Christians for 40 years and still choose not to say yes to God. And it doesn't make any sense to me, but it tells me right here that they're not as mature as they think they are in Christ. They're not doing what God wants them to do. Therefore, they're not going to be an effective tool for His kingdom. I don't ever want to be there. I hope you never want to be there where you come in here and sit on Wednesdays and Sundays or just Sundays and be like, hey man, made it. No, you didn't. You're fooling yourself. And God has so much more in store for you. So much more than just coming in here and sitting, taking up a pew. It's up to you to figure it out and follow what He wants. But keep focused. We are not called to live a bare minimum life or have a bare minimum attitude to God. Yeah, I'll show up because I should. Yeah, I'll give a little bit of money because I should. I'll pray a little bit. I'm not going to read, though, but I'll pray a little bit, you know, because I should. Can you imagine if Jesus had that same bare minimum attitude as he came to the world? Like, well, I'll die for them, but this folk over here, they're too bad. I ain't dying for these four right here not doing it. Everybody else is fine. Or I'm not going to the cross. I don't want to do it. God, do you see what I'm living in? You sent me to die for this? I'm not doing it. Call me up. I'm done. I'm over it. Can you imagine if Jesus had that same mindset? But he didn't. And that's why Paul can say these things. Because as wicked as he was, Jesus pulled him out of that. As wicked as we are, Jesus can pull us out of that. As sinful and as terrible as we can be, Jesus can pull us out of that. Verse 16, he says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." He's saying, yeah, I know I haven't made it yet, but I do know some things. Yeah, I know I'm not where God wants me to be, but I do know some things. Yeah, I know that he still has more for me that I haven't gotten yet. So how do I get there? Well, it's simple. He says, let us walk by the same rule. What we know, what we're taught, what we believe, what even if you're a baby Christian, what you know it as much as you can. Practice it as much as you can. Try it as much as you can. And then when you get more, when you learn more, when the Spirit reveals more to you, take that and cling to it. Hold on to it. Grab on to it. Take hold of it. Love it. Cherish it. Hide it in your heart so that you too can be an effective tool for God. Because that's the goal between salvation and heaven is, God, how can you use me? What do you want from me? How do you want me to do this? I was reading in 2 Samuel and David talks all about, he seeks God. God, how do you want me to do this? God, what do you want for here? And he listens and God speaks to him. You know, he does the same thing today through his Holy Spirit. God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to handle this situation? Should I do this? Should I go here? What about this person? How should I act here? What about work? What about this? There's so many things. And he's always there for you. We just sometimes get a little impatient. And we make a decision on our own. And cut him out. Happens. It's always going to happen. We're not there yet. Let's press on. Let's see what he does have for us. Let's live our lives to the fullest. Not the fullest in the way we want, but the fullest in the way God has appointed for us. See, I don't know what God's call in your life is tonight, but surely there is one. I'll tell you what, if you don't know who the Lord is, you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, his first call in your life is salvation. Might be a little tapping right about now, getting a little sweaty, not quite sure what that feeling is. That's Holy Spirit. Not quite sure if you're willing to stop looking in your rearview mirror. Not going back to your old lifestyle, struggling. God can pull you out of that. Jesus can pull you out of all of that. Listening, obeying, and glorifying is the goal. Where are you at in that timeline? Have you given your life to Christ and you're somewhere between salvation and heaven? Are you still living in the world and you're somewhere between the world and salvation? I don't know where you're at on that timeline, but I do know that because of that cross and the Sunday that we celebrated, you can have eternal life to Jesus. He says so. His word tells us so. We sang a song. Well done, and hopefully through our actions on this world, our actions here, by doing what God's called us to do, serving the way he's called us to serve, obeying when he asks us to do something, we'll glorify him. And then when we do get between salvation, and we finally tip over to the other end of heaven, when he sees us, he'll say, well done, welcome home. That's what I'm working for. That's what my goal is. Two words. All I want to hear is two words. How about you?